It may have happened to you today. You were feeling sluggish on your morning commute. You put on your headphones and played something you love on your iPod and were immediately transported to a more pleasurable time. Our favorite music acts as a touchstone to people and places from our past. And a new documentary called Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory, which is currently at the Landmark Sunshine Theater, explores music's ability to combat memory loss and restore a deep sense of self to those suffering from it. It won the Audience Award at this year's Sundance Film Festival and brings to our show now filmmaker Michael Rosato Bennett and Dan Cohen, a social worker and founder of the nonprofit organization Music and Memory. Welcome.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, you're a social worker by training. Was your work in nursing homes part of your job or something you did on a volunteer basis?
Actually, my I'm a social worker, but I actually have a career in technology companies. So one day on the radio, I heard that iPods, a journalist talking about how iPods are everywhere and they're ubiquitous. And yeah, all the kids have them, a lot of us adults. But for me, I thought, one day if I'm in a nursing home, would I have access to my own music? And I Googled iPods and nursing homes, and 16,000 nursing homes in the U.S. I couldn't find one using them. So I, as a volunteer, I called up a local nursing home on Long Island. I said, I know music's already a major activity for you, but can we see if there's any added value if we were to totally personalize the music? So I did. They said, okay. I came in with my laptop and some iPods, and it was an instant and definitive hit.
Michael, how did you become aware of Dan's work?
Actually, I had been working with the Rubin Foundation, the Donald and Shelley Rubin Foundation, and a friend of mine worked there, and she wanted me to help one of their grantees, this guy Dan Cohen, and we decided to do a website with some videos on it, and it was just a job.
And what were you expecting to happen?
I had literally zero expectations, and I was actually deeply shocked when I sort of followed Dan into this nursing home, and I've never been in a nursing home, honestly. And I saw lined up against the walls, literally hundreds of people in their wheelchairs just sort of slumped and parked. And you're assaulted with these incredible smells and sounds. And it was literally a place I did not want to be.
There's a man early in the film who exemplifies the best of what music can do for patients with dementia. What can you tell us about Henry, who, when we meet him, is in a semi-dormant state?
So with advanced dementia, you no longer are able to recognize your own family. You lose the ability to communicate well. And with Henry, though, and with many people with advanced dementia, you still have the ability to connect with music from your youth, which sort of can awaken you. That music is connected with old memories.
How long had he been in the nursing home?
He had been in a nursing home, just a number of years.
And I think almost 10.
Maybe.
But he was, by this time, totally out of it. You were told that Henry had been involved in his church, so you started playing him a lot of gospel music. But that isn't what really caught his attention. It was Cab Calloway?
Yeah. That's the one thing that you discover over and over again, that the songs you think somebody will respond to maybe are not the most personal and the most powerful for them. And, when you see somebody like Henry come alive, like be awakened by music, it you feel it yourself, and it does something to you, which is why I ended up making this film.
So you saw the Henry thing and you said, oh, we can probably do all sorts of other kinds of talk to also sorts of other kinds of people, and there's a real story to tell here.
I mean, not just a story to tell. Like I had seen these people in this nursing home by the hundreds. And I saw Henry, who was exactly the same as these people, and then we gave him this music. I mean, I was an innocent. I thought Dan had the cure for Alzheimer's. That was really my first, like, oh, my God, we've cured Alzheimer's through music. And that's not the case at all. But that's the feeling. And for me, the idea was, wow, what if we could give what we gave Henry to all those other people in the hallway?
Because once Henry started hearing Cab Calloway, he comes alive, and he starts interacting. Is the kind of response we see from patients like Henry temporary, or does it make the patient's new alertness more lasting?
There is a residual effect. So in a nursing home in New York City, the Health and Hospitals Corporation, I went into a large room. There are 65 people with advanced dementia, and I noticed, boy, it's pretty quiet here. And they're not listening to music. And I said, well, gee, this is unusual, isn't it? Because usually there's a lot of activity and agitation. And they said, well, we give them music for an hour in the morning, and it helps them be calm for the day and enjoy the day. So you do that every day, and over time, actually, their cognition, if you do this week after week for 3 hours a week, the research shows, they'll score perhaps 50% better on cognitive exams.
It slows down the dementia process?
Well, it does slow down once one can hold on to their ability to interact and be themselves and to be awake and engaged.
Do we know why, what the physiological explanation is for why music stimulates the brain? Is it music in particular?
Well, because it's talking directly to the emotional system, and our emotional systems, even with Alzheimer's, which is affecting the short-term memory, the emotional system is still very much intact. So when we love music, it's our emotional system that's really embracing it.
Has anybody done an MRI to see which parts of the brain light up in somebody who has dementia when they hear music, familiar music, music that they've loved?
I know there have been actually many imaging studies for people with music. Oliver Sacks, he was on 2020 1 year as he listened to his favorite classical music, and his brain is lighting up to his enjoyment.
That's one of the most amazing things, is that music lights up more of the brain than any other human stimulus. You know, there's no music part of the brain. We have sort of over tens and or hundreds of thousands of years sort of created the capacity to hear and create and experience music. And it goes into all the parts of the brain, including these very, very deep parts, these primal parts of our brain that last almost to the very end of these diseases.
Is that why we can't get rid of a melody that's stuck in our head when we want to?
They call those earworms. I don't know.
I'm going to do something about that ice cream truck that plays that melody that drives me crazy.
There you go.
Does any type of music have an impact on people with dementia, or is it more specifically music from that person's past?
We are really shooting for music that has personal meaning. So 40% of these 5 million plus people that have a dementia, have Alzheimer's, have more advanced Alzheimer's, and people view them as not being able to experience pleasure. And so it's that personal meaning piece that gives them pleasure.
Well, you can talk to family members if they're around, but what happens if this is a person who you have no indication of what their interests were in the past?
So
they could have liked classical music, they could have liked jazz, they could have liked rock and roll.
You know, if there's no one around, and actually 50% of the people in nursing homes never ever get a visitor, the staff have been pretty ingenious about figuring that out organically, sampling music, watching, you know, may sit down with a half a dozen people and play different songs and see who responds to which song, and they may start off with stuff that's based on their date of birth or their religion and build a list.
And the implications for this, to me, are very, very profound, because that creates an opportunity for engagement, for human engagement, somebody's actually saying, who are you? What do you want? What is your life? Who were you? And these are actually a series of questions that very seldom get asked to these people.
My guests are filmmaker Michael Rosato Bennett and social worker Dan Cohen, a film that they collaborate on called Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory, is right now it's at what theater? I'm sorry.
The Sunshine, down on Houston.
Are there similarities in what patients express about what music means for them when you give them that music?
I would say it varies as much if you were with a group of friends and what music means to everybody. The answers will vary just as much as they would among ourselves now.
Have you seen cases where providing patients with a personalized playlist of music actually has the opposite effect, making them sad or more withdrawn?
That was a concern. When I started doing this as a volunteer, my friends would say, Dan, you can't do this. You're going to isolate them more. They're already isolated. They're going to put headphones on them, leave them in the corner. But when we had the opportunity to roll this out to 200 people across 4 New York City nursing homes, the 33 professional staff said, no, we didn't find anybody more isolated, but boy, were people more social. They were saying, oh, you got to hear this music, or this reminds me when I met my husband, or gee, you're about my age. Remember the Andrews sisters? So it would kick off this social interaction.
Does it have to be an iPad with headphones? An iPod with headphones? Can't it be an iPad with music videos as well? From
even
the
better, the more senses we're stimulating. I mean, gee, what's the difference between Frank Sinatra audio, Frank Sinatra in concert, Frank Sinatra in concert singing with other people physically with you right there? It's all good.
What can you tell us about Steve, a relatively younger man who's suffering from muscular sclerosis?
Well, Steve is a man who could only see and hear and speak, and that was about it. And I guess the reason he's in the film is because he spent 8 years in this institution without anybody asking him, you know, would you like your music? And I find that phenomenal to think that that somebody with only three senses, you know, that we wouldn't think to try and hit the most powerful one of them.
And he says, vistas that I thought were closed to me opened up when he got the music.
Right. I mean, that's the key piece of this for me, especially with people with Alzheimer's, is there's something so profound. You know, navigating life is so hard for these people. Just cutting out exterior sound is a challenge. And when you put this headphones on them, it cuts out that external world, and it also pours them into a world that they're 100% capable of experiencing. It's an amazing thing.
Jeff from Manhattan has called in to talk about this. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for taking my call. My mother died of Alzheimer's about 5 years ago, and I just wanted to talk about some of the experiences I had with her in the nursing home during the months just before she died. At one point, very near the end, she was being played at something they called in the nursing home ascending music, which was very, very soft, sort of tinkling music, thinking that that would help people ascend wherever they were going. I said, no. I said, let's play her some Osipov balalaika music. Very lively stuff. And here she was, virtually comatose, and her shoulders, her eyes floated open, her shoulders started shaking because she used to dance when she was a girl, a young woman. And the change was miraculous for just those few minutes. And also, when I used to go up there, I'd occasionally go into the gathering room where they would entertain the people in the Alzheimer's ward, and I sang for them a little bit. And they actually used to correct me when I dropped the lyric.
Now, along these lines, Hollis in Brooklyn left a comment saying, I met a woman with Alzheimer's at a nursing facility who could play any song on the piano. She would ask for suggestions, go over to the piano, and play. It was quite amazing. This is a person who was having problems just getting through a typical day. It's not just a matter of remembering the music. It's actually, in this case, of being able to play the music.
What we were talking about before, about the parts of the brain that remain, not only do the emotional systems stay very profound, but the movement systems are really what stay profound as well. And what you're talking about there most likely is motor memory.
Now, there seems to be another theme in this film, correct me if I'm wrong, that elder care can be dehumanizing and that music can serve to confirm our essential, irrepressible, and shared humanity.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely believe that. When you institutionalize a human being, when you take a person and you treat them like an object, they react negatively. People come into nursing homes and they begin to fade. It's a very common occurrence.
Before we go, I want to know what your playlist is going to be.
Very 60s, Beach Boys, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, James Taylor.
Bach, Pavarotti, and Jeff Buckley.
Jeff Buckley does not fit in there, but obviously he's a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
Have you shown this film to people who have Alzheimer's?
That's a really good question. We have in North Carolina, in a big theater, we did have people come in from the local nursing home. Some had some dementia. And they went back, actually, all of these people with and without dementia, and they made a decision amongst themselves to really help us make our playlists.
Now, you'd assume that every nursing home would see this film and say, oh, gee, we're going to do that. But there's been resistance, hasn't there?
Well, I think once they see this film, they will really want to do this.
Great. We've been talking with filmmaker Michael Rosato Bennett, Dan Cohn, a social worker, founder of the nonprofit organization Music and Memory. The film, Alive Inside, the Story of Music and Memory, is at the Landmark Sunshine Theater. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
MusicandMemory.org.